This is Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Continuing on Sunday Karma, where I hope to talk two things in this segment. Of course, we want to hear Greg's thoughts on what he thinks will happen.
I'm excited about this.
With Giannis and the Bucks, but also this Mike Vrabel, Diana Rossini thing, which it's weird. Like, it's seemingly like the story's been more about Diana Rossini when I feel like it should be about both of them equally. Like, I don't totally get why it's more her than him.
Yes and no. I think professionally, her, like, ethically, her profession is going to hold her more accountable for a relationship like that than his profession.
You don't think a football coach with a media member?
It's your coach, Greg.
Not the same level of, I would say, penalty as the media member with the coach.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like
and we bring in Jason Wilde, who Jason may or may not want to share a lot of his deep opinions on this. Understandably, he is in the very same role or close role or different role or whatever, however he describes it to Diana Rossini. So I was teeing this off, Jason, by saying I think it's interesting that Rossini's getting a level of scrutiny that Vrabel's not around this, and I think they both should get the same. But I also believe that the idea is the New York Post, while they break stories like this, they are very high profile. And they're not breaking this story unless they have the story. And, you know, where they said they were with a group of other people, the New York Post would give them the chance to prove they were with other people. Like, okay, show us the pictures, show us the hotel reservations, show us the airline tickets, show us the, like, so that to me is where this story became problematic. And it doesn't mean that they're having any sort of inappropriate relationship, but it does seem to lead to a level of dishonesty, which I think is really dangerous when you look at how, you know, how someone's reacting to a story like this.
Yeah, I totally agree. It reminds me of one of my favorite films starring some of our ESPN Cleveland teammates, Draft Day. Right, about Bo Callahan, not only did he lie, but then he stood up for the lie. I don't think it's a great look for anyone involved. The reason why I would say Diana would be getting more scrutiny is because she's the one who theoretically, even in the most generous reading of this, is violating how our job is supposed to work and the ethics of it. Like, you know,
so you don't think that's the ethics of the football coach's job?
Football coach's job is to win football games.
I mean, he might be cheating on his wife, which is certainly unethical. But like, I hate to be a jerk about this, but I don't know. Maybe he's actually helping his team, right? By having someone who, if the theories are accurate, again, I want to choose my words carefully here. But if the theories are accurate that, you know, she's been pushing this A.J. Brown to the Patriots narrative on his behalf, maybe he's helping his team, right? So, I'm not condoning anyone's behavior if it is, in fact, what it looks like it is. You make a great point about the New York Post. Here's what I would say. And my issue here, not about her specifically, but a general overall view, I mean, how many times now when you look on social media, and Strofe, I know you've seen this, when someone isn't sufficiently critical of LaFleur, some Twitter user immediately pulls out that photo of the beat writers at Corey Behnke's house all drinking with Matt LaFleur, right? Like, I know those guys in that photo. I don't think any of them behave unethically professionally and don't report what needs to be reported. It's the appearance of that, right? And it gives it leads to distrust from our listeners, our readers, if you are in that position. Now, I didn't go to that event, so I'm not in that photo. I would not have been comfortable with that photo. I spent 4 years doing a show with Aaron Rodgers that Craig Karmazin forced me to do, and I'm glad he did, But the reason why I was able to do it, even though I had fellow journalists taking shots at me all the time and saying things that I really took very personally, because I do believe myself to be pretty ethical, was that Aaron Rodgers, the first time we did the show, said, look, I know your ethics are important to you. I don't want you to ever give me a question ahead of time. I can handle whatever you ask me. So I don't want you to pull any punches. I can handle this.
Yeah, but Jason, I'm not saying you guys have ever clasped hands on a bridge or sat in a hot tub together, but like you guys had
how do you know we haven't?
I don't know you haven't, exactly. And I know you guys developed a really deep relationship that I would argue made you able to do your job better. And so for Diana, if she has developed a deeper relationship with Mike Vrabel, and there's nothing to suggest that I know at this point that there's anything inappropriate there, there could be, like, it may allow her to do her job better by building a deep, friendly relationship with someone, right? Well, Greg's laughing at me here. Greg's laughing at me here.
Because you just started.
So am I.
You are?
You just started this by talking about how, like, inappropriate it was, even for them to be on a vacation together.
I didn't say it was inappropriate.
Well, you did. You implied
what?
It.
I was saying the clasping hands on the
bridge. Clasping hands and just the fact that, like, they could have proven they were with other people.
No, I'm saying the lying. The lying is the thing that, to me.
But the idea.
Like, if they had said, like, yes, we're like, he's been my big brother ever since I came into the league. And if both of their spouses came out and were like, of course they knew, they were both out on the West Coast and of course they met up.
Yeah.
Like, they've always been great friends and like, this is nothing weird. Like, I'm saying the reaction to it
I'm saying
was
the
suspicious
you're trying
part.
To compare Jason and Aaron to their relationship to Diana Rossini and Mike Vrabel. That's why I'm laughing, because it is.
Oh, they're super comparable.
Day.
What are you talking about?
I think it is comparable. Get people who know each other.
I think people,
people who know each other is different
called,
than being on vacation together.
Jason, have people called Aaron Rodgers your boyfriend repeatedly for the last decade?
Yes, derisively so, yes.
So,
right, there it is.
I'm saying there it is.
Maybe he's onto something.
There's no photographic evidence there. So. Look.
Have you ever touched his hand, Jason?
I've shook his hand. I think I've hugged him a couple times.
How soft are his
like
hands?
Like a bro hug style hug.
How soft are his hands?
I don't remember. I know they're not as big as Reggie White's. I just remember the first time I shook Reggie White's hand. It was like I was a child. Like my hand just disappeared.
Did you ever hug Reggie White?
No. I covered him for what, 3 years, right? 96, 97, 98. So no, he and I never got to that point. And that's where I'll end my discussion of who's hugged me and who hasn't. I think, first of all, the male-female dynamic is obviously different for one. Two, I don't think if there were photos of me holding hands and hugging and hot tubbing with someone other than Paula, that Paula would take the most generous reading of that. And I don't think we should either. I just think that that's unrealistic. But again, to me, the biggest issue for me anyway.
But Jason, if next year you're covering the owners meetings or the whatever, the coaches, you had said you want to get back to that, and you and Matt LaFleur are talking, he's like, hey, I'm going to sit in the tub here. You want to just continue the conversation? Like, I don't think you and Matt LaFleur I mean, you don't want to have your shirt off in front of Matt LaFleur. I get that, but like, why wouldn't you?
But here's the thing:
why wouldn't you have the conversation with him?
If it was just a picture of those two in a hot tub, and that was the only thing that came out.
No one would think anything
of
it.
There wouldn't be maybe a little.
It would be funny. I mean, I agree it would be funny. And Packer fans might mock Jason for it in some way. But I don't think they'd be.
Oh, my God, they'd kill me.
I don't think they'd be assuming. I don't think Paula would be upset at you, would she?
No. I think her reaction would be very. She'd be maybe more of embarrassment.
Yeah. So, Jason, just continue, because you were saying the male-female dynamic is really different.
It is. And I would also say, having worked with a number of women in this field, like the appearance of impropriety, like one of my, I guess, proteges before Strolf, obviously, who, you know, Strolf, you wouldn't be where you are without me. I know we would all agree on that. But
I concur.
Sarah Barshop, I think the world of. And she has become so good at her job at ESPN. She covered the Texans for a long time. Now she's covered the Rams for a few years. Like, and I've talked about this with her. And she understands it, that there's a different standard for them, whether it's fair or unfair, that you undermine your credibility based on those male-female relationships. And again, I don't know Diana well. I have known her for a while. We're not friends. We are acquaintances and colleagues. I remember the story about Scott McLuhan about a decade ago, where his wife made some allegations on social media about his relationship with her, with Diana then. Again, I don't know if any of it's true or not, but I'm talking about the appearance of impropriety, whether it's male, female, or a bunch of beat writers with Matt LaFleur. Again, I don't think those guys that are in that picture that are true beat writers, not the guys that, you know, God bless the guys from Cheesehead TV. They do a great job. I don't have any bones to pick with them. They're a different type of entity than what I do. Okay. They are admitted fans. Okay. I don't have a problem with them being in a picture with the head coach at the bar in Corey's house. I don't have a problem with that. But the appearance that it creates for guys that cover the team as journalists, I don't think that they are violating their ethics at all in the way they cover the team, but they are giving people ammunition to question their ethics. And I don't think it's right. It's certainly problematic. But I don't think it changes the way those guys cover the team. It just puts us in a position where then people question our credibility. And I try very hard to have that. I know there are those that think I did not have the level of credibility that others did when it came to Aaron Rodgers because they didn't think I criticized them enough. I think there's a lot of projection on that because when, you know, the guy had a season when he won the MVP where he threw six picks. I didn't criticize him enough for the six interceptions he threw. I just think that it's, again, journalism as a whole is in a very difficult place and has been there for a while. And I just don't think we can afford these types of missteps as an entire group.
Jason Wilde, there you have it. I guess we will not see you clasping hands with Matt LaFleur anytime soon. Although I do disagree with what you just said, but we don't need to go deeper.
What part?
Like, I think Jason was biased related to Aaron Rodgers. I think I'm biased. Like, I think when you have personal relationships and you're a human, it's not to be. And and you could try to guard against them, but I just don't know how, like, and you can attempt to approach your job as objectively as possible. But I think once you have personal relationships, whether it's in the locker room or out of the locker room, I think it's almost impossible. That's my view.
Let me be clear. I think you're probably right. Okay? What I'm saying is I stroll very...
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I succeeded
at
every turn.
Agreed.
Like, you know, I've got a great relationship with Evan Williams. Am I not as critical of him if he drops an interception? I don't think so. But again, none of us are robots. We're
right. And Jason, my point is you may just like empathize better with his view because you know him better than someone who you don't know as well. So you may still be feeling like you're objective. You just may have a better context to identify with someone. So, yeah. All right. Jason, appreciate you jumping back on with us. We know this is a tricky conversation. We appreciate you diving in with us on it.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
I think he was saying again. All right.
That was gossipy.
What was gossipy?
I don't think it was gossipy at all, actually. I thought it was it was all above board. It was about ethics, as we are probably the most ethical show on ESPN Wisconsin. It makes sense that we were the ones to tackle this.
A lot of ethics.
Why is the show ethical?
Because we're four men with
he's just talking.
Great
oh,
ethics.
Oh, now we're he's men. Just, now men have more better ethics. I don't want to be like now. I feel uncomfortable
Craig,
with this segment.
I know, Craig. Remember, he's still a protege, so that means he's still being trained. He's in training.
He's trying to group himself in with the rest of the show.
I think I don't necessarily think I'm the lowest of ethics on the show.
He just keeps talking.
Wait, who's the lowest of ethics on the show, then? I'll let you figure that one out.
He's going to clearly probably say me. I mean, he's not going to say his boss, and he's not going to say, wow.
No.
So you're saying either the owner of the company or the guy that brought you to Milwaukee and actually brought you a good cover brands have low ethics? Yeah. That's crazy.
That's not what I said.
That's crazy.
That's not what I said.
I mean, you alluded to it because you said no to me.
I said I'll let you figure it out.
And then I said, well, it has to be me. And you said no.
Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. More Sunday Karma coming up on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
So cool yesterday to see what was going on at Shorewood High School. Big ups to everyone associated with Hoops for Harris, fundraiser there, 3-on-3 basketball tournament. It's just so fun to just be around basketball and shooting and all that. And I ended up schooling some kids. Like, it was crazy. They were playing King of the Court. Like, they were like 7th, 8th grade boys probably. And
you shouldn't have said that part of it.
Yeah. Now they were like, realistically, that's what they were. And they were playing like King of the Court, where basically you had the ball at the top of the court and you could drive and or shoot. If you scored, you stayed on. If you missed the shot, don't worry about the rebound. Like, you're off. Next person up. Or that person gets the ball. Next person up. Right. King of the Court kind of style. So I came in and swatted a kid in the first thing. Then I scored like 8 or 9 times in a row. And like, my daughter, of course, instigating, walks by. She's like, yo, Unk looks like he could play a little bit. And then so then everyone's calling me Unk. And I'm just taking him the hole. I'm shooting. I'm going into my bag. And like, none of this would be possible without my friends at Precision Sports. They're the local team in southeastern Wisconsin that specializes in basketball hoops and even custom home courts. I've worked with them multiple times, and they are fantastic. It's getting to be that season. There's nothing more fun than shooting on your basketball hoop. So talk to them today. Get a free, that is free, quote from them by heading to precisionsportsonline.com. You want to work with someone who's qualified. You want to work with someone who communicates well. You want to work with someone who works with all the best vendors. And I am very, very happy that I did it around my basketball hoops. So remember, if you want to get a hoop, a court, anything in your house, it's precisionsportsonline.com, and your jumper will be better than mine in no time. By the way, my thing is I try to make 100 threes every day. Like, every day I make 100 three-pointers.
7 days a week.
Yeah. That's my...
How much time does that take?
Do you see how in shock he is that you could commit to something for like a day, a daily level?
Yeah.
He's like,
well,
7 days a week?
Well, it's only when I'm home, because I do travel. So when I'm traveling, I don't do it. But when I'm at home, I like to do it.
How long does 100 makes take?
I don't know. I mean, it takes generally between 175 and 190 shots
generally. You're an efficient guy. Over 50%?
That's uncontested.
Yeah, it's uncontested. And
you're
it's
not
like
talking NBA
threes. And it's not an NBA three. Yeah. I have an NBA three line, but this is on like the high school, college line.
The NBA three
line
is so much farther back.
I know, outside of the corner.
It's a different.
And I'm not a good corner shooter comparatively, although I'm getting there by doing 100 every day. It's
how many? So how long does it take you to make 100 time-wise?
I don't know. I don't
just
look
ask
at the clock.
That.
Yeah.
Well, he just said 175 shots, so
yeah.
I was trying to. So you don't. Look at all.
I don't look
o'clock.
At the clock.
Well,
no.
You should assume that maybe he's getting a shot up every 20 seconds.
Well,
right?
No, I'm getting a shot up every 5 seconds because I do.
Oh, because you got the gun.
I got the gun that's shooting him to me.
Are you working around the world?
Yes,
or
I'm doing 5-5-5-5-5-5-5. I'm going back around and around five.
This
shots
is what
and
we
should
have did for our competition. We should have went to Craig's house and did.
We're not messing with anything. Okay. All right. As we continue,
you just don't want us to come over, huh?
Yes. as we continue on Sunday Karma, remember, go to precisionsportsonline.com and get your free quote today. So, Greg, we were talking about Giannis, and you were.
An hour ago.
I know. Everyone's been waiting. Everyone's waiting. The gross domestic product of this country, and specifically Wisconsin, has been slowed waiting because you said your hope, if you had it in your perfect world, Giannis would come out as soon as possible and say, I am signing the Supermax to stay with the Milwaukee Bucks, and that the Milwaukee Bucks would say, hey, I know it's 4 years, $275 million. That's a lot of money for a guy this age, but of course we want Giannis, and of course we want to continue to build to another championship team. So that is what you would want to happen. What do you expect happens next?
I expect that in almost exactly a month from today, the NBA world post-draft lottery starts really talking about the trade opportunities that exist for Giannis, and the Bucks being interested in certain players from certain organizations, and Giannis trying to
kind of chart his path to the teams that he'd be willing to sign an extension with. And that ultimately that culminates in a trade happening in June prior to the NBA draft, and that Giannis will no longer be a part of the Bucks.
Do you believe a trade that's agreed to, right? Because you can't actually make, or can you make a trade involving players before the season's over?
In that period?
Before the draft.
Can, right?
Yeah, before the draft,
after the finals.
Okay, so you're saying after the finals, before the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're the Bucks and Giannis, right, like there's so much to have to work through. In the sense that the Bucks are going to want to get the best deal. Part of that is the best deal is going to come from a team that feels like they can have Giannis for more than this one season. And you want to know what draft pick you're getting. And I think that at some point that's going to continue to push.
So if you're the Bucks, do you owe it to Giannis to trade him to a destination that he wants to go? Or do you owe it to your organization to get the best overall deal for the organization? And I know you want it, you'd hope it could be both, yeah. But what approach do you take there?
I think it almost needs to be both, because otherwise you're not going to get a lot of teams. And that's where I think...
But
I think that's where the argument last year of, hey, the trade value could be higher in the summer than it was before the deadline, but now you have one run.
Let's just say the Portland Trailblazers. Let's say the Portland Trailblazers have a bunch of the Bucks picks.
Yep.
And the Bucks owned in on that, and they thought that was a great trade, and the Blazers just have a new owner, and they're willing to really go crazy to make that trade happen.
I'm the Bucks, you're saying, and I could get a better deal.
And that's the best deal you can get.
Yep.
And Giannis is like, that's not on my list.
Yeah. The Bucks have to do it in the best interest of the Bucks.
Kyle, do you agree with that?
Yes, the Bucks do have to do in the best interest of the Bucks, and so I mean I understand that Giannis he may have his destination list,
and Giannis may just want to stay with Milwaukee. So obviously this is all hypothetical, but you're saying if you're the Bucks, you have to optimize Giannis's trade value, not have any out of respect to what Giannis has done for the organization, his family,
It's not not have any of that.
The Utah Jazz ain't asking for Giannis. I mean, they may ask, but I mean. I doubt
you're not going to get the best deal.
But we don't know if Giannis gets to that point where he wants to be traded, he may have four teams, he may have two teams, and those might not be the teams that are the best deal for the Bucks.
On this, in order for him to have a list, doesn't he publicly need to ask? Doesn't he need to publicly request the trade?
No, not at all.
Yeah,
and also,
but if the two deals are comparable and one of them is on Giannis's list, you do owe it to Giannis to do that. If they're not comparable, you're not doing right by your organization, by your shareholders, by your fans, to then go ahead and make a significantly worse deal for Giannis in that case.
Especially when, theoretically, if it got to this point, which we're hoping it doesn't, this is going to be the move that is going to shape the organization in a way that probably no other thing is shaped. I mean, if you think, what is the most consequential decision that the Bucks had, in the last, few decades? Like, theoretically, maybe it was like what to do with the number two pick of the draft, in the last 12 years. And that pick of Jabari Parker ended up not being as consequential as it seemed at the time. Obviously, proactively, the Jrue Holiday trade. Mm-hmm. Obviously, proactively, the Dame Lillard trade. The wave and stretch of Dame. Like, there's been other consequential transactions, but of things we knew were coming up, they were like, oh my God, this is going to... I mean, I remember I'd just become part of the ownership group. That number two pick, that was like, this is going to make or break us. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to get this right. If we're going to get an arena built, if we're going to... Like, we need to nail this pick. And ultimately, you never know with injuries and all that, but ultimately, Jabari not only wasn't part of the championship team, but it's not like we traded him for something where his pick led to it in any way.
Yeah, and I think that this is a bigger deal even than that is.
Significantly bigger, right?
Going to ultimately, as you said, sort of chart that path. And so, no, I think in an ideal world, you have those two things aligned, but it's not a guarantee.
Can people stop living in this la-la land that somebody won't say, you know what, I may not be Giannis's first destination or where he wants to get traded to, but when we get him here, we're going to show him why he should want to stay here. Like, don't you think somebody would take a chance on having Giannis for one full season to be able to have a year to convince him to stay? Like, everybody's saying, oh, well, if he doesn't sign the extension, the team won't want... No, yeah. If a team has a chance to win a championship...
The Blazers are putting together great things there. They have a new owner who's a committed person to winning. Like, sure, I think there's absolutely people who would say, hey, let me get someone here in my culture and show them why they would want to stay here.
And look what Toronto did. You know, Toronto, they got a rental in Kawhi Leonard. And
I mean,
they
but they gave up like a second round pick and DeMar DeRozan. Like that wasn't.
It was just a second round pick,
I think, or maybe one pick. I mean, they did
but
not give
also
up a lot.
But they gave up DeMar DeRozan, and I mean, right. Giannis to me is better than Kawhi because Kawhi had his injury issues before, and it seems like other stuff.
Yeah, we will talk more about it as we continue. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. This is Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Heading over to American Family Field today, I assume... You will see a t-shirt toss from Gruber Law Offices. You saw it all season long with the Milwaukee Bucks. Win or lose, Gruber Law Offices and the Gruber family is there for you and this community. And when you need someone, if you're ever injured, you're only paying if there is a win. That's the thing about Gruber Law Offices, helping this community, engaged in this community, part of Southeastern Wisconsin for over 35 years. Wow, that is a long time of doing it and an amazing, amazing team that has been built there. Tens of thousands of Wisconsinites help. Remember, if you or loved ones ever injured, it's one call, that's all, with Gruber Law Offices. So we were talking about the Giannis situation as the season wraps up today. And, I mean, this season has been so unlike any that we've seen. And it's sad because, like, I remember, like, really thinking about it during the Bucks championship run of, like, the Aaron Rodgers situation and people making the comparisons at the time. Like, is this, like, a natural and has this happened, like, always, right? Like, it didn't seemingly happen with Tim Duncan and the Spurs or Dirk Nowitzki and the Mavs, but it feels like these things happen more often than they don't, right? When, you know, when superstar players get to a point with an organization?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Dirk and Duncan are the outliers. I mean, you see it in football all the time, whether it's Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or some of those, you know, all-time greats. And certainly in the NBA, you have seen it outside of the Stephs, outside of Duncan, outside of Dirk. And I think
I'd say Kobe Bryant is an example of maybe how this can work. Like, Kobe, it got ugly at times, and Kobe demanded trades. Kobe had all sorts of things.
Wasn't he traded to Chicago? Like, that was the thing?
He was going to be traded to Chicago. Yeah, like, I mean, so you wonder when things, you know, what that threshold is that line that you can't come back from.
I think you look at the outliers, they were on teams that were able to continue to redefine themselves and stay competitive, right? Like, you look at what Steph was able to do with the Warriors. Duncan, especially in terms of what the Spurs did, and that Kawhi, you want to talk about a late pick that ended up working out and really, you know, helping to extend that. And, you know, Dirk obviously makes the run late in his career. Kobe, you're right, is an interesting one because they didn't get better late in his career. You know, like, they actually kind of got worse, but it felt like at that point after that, what, 09 title, that they were able to, that kind of felt like where Kobe was like, all right, I'm just going to stay here for the rest.
Yeah. Well, he had won, like, it was before he won those last two championships that the seemingly, like, biggest issues were.
Correct.
Steph Curry's the interesting one now that you could put alongside Giannis, right? Where Steph Curry has won a bunch of championships. He won the late one, extra one in his career where he won his first finals MVP. And now, you know, this year he's battled some injuries, but they are going to be a play-in team, and you wonder what that organization looks like going forward when Steve Kerr is in the last year of his deal.
Yeah, I think it's going to end ugly, you know, what, 90% of the time?
Probably more than that.
And Giannis is still 32, 31.
31, yeah.
Going to turn 32. So this isn't like Giannis is, hey, do I play another 3 years out, 2 years out with the Bucks? Somebody like Giannis, as competitive as he is, wants to play for another 6, 7, 8 years. And whether that's realistic or not, based on how his body holds up, we've seen how competitive he is. We see, you know, how he's been able to bounce back from injury.
And remember, he has another year left on his contract. So when we're talking about the Supermax, that would be putting, you know, four more years on top of the 1 year. So
on top of the 26-27 season.
Yeah, so we're talking about 5 years out that, you know, everyone here said, hey, I'm signing up for that in a heartbeat.
Totally.
Right? All of you said that, right?
Yeah, totally. But I am curious what the pitch is, because you think about some of those eras you just listed with the Duncans and the Kobes and when they were reinventing themselves and the roster around their superstar. I wonder what happened in those pitches that worked and what the Bucks can do this offseason. Now, the wave and stretch part of Damian Lillard, where you still owe him, I think it's $22 million each of the next 4 years. That's tricky to
construct a superstar roster around him. I think it's an interesting question, right? Like, is there a pitch that the Bucks are making to Giannis in that way? Or is the last 13 years the pitch of like, hey,
great point.
We've clearly shown we're going to do everything. You know, the fact that we did the wave and stretch, the fact that we did the Jrue Holiday trade, the Dame trade, all that. Like, is that the resume? It's not like, hey, we're going to try to overpromise that there's some vision for this year. It's that, hey, this partnership for 13 years has been a really good one. And obviously this year didn't work out, but the majority of the last decade has been pretty special.
I think that's a really good point. But then it comes down to, how does Giannis view that? Does he view it as enough? Even though they took the swings haven't worked the last few years. Obviously, dating back to Jrue Holiday, the swings did work. But when you think of Damian Lillard, when you think of Miles Turner and the wave and stretch this season, those swings haven't been enough. So what the
and
what
by
can
the
they
way,
do in the near future?
I'm not
to
willing
win?
To say the Miles Turner isn't going to work out. Obviously, I'm with you. I'm with you though that it didn't work this year.
Oh, I was just simply going to say one thing where hopefully Doc is going to be retiring. I didn't realize Doc said 1 foot out the door. Your superstar has 1 foot out the door. If you're talking about your superstar,
well, now
like
do we actually have that exact quote? Because I don't want to. Alex Stroh said.
I did say I was paraphrasing.
That's not something to paraphrase lightly here.
It's something to that effect.
It's because that's a pretty big deal coming from somebody who's supposed to be the leader of the basketball team, and where you're basically saying, yeah, I mean, it's hard to really focus when your superstar has 1 foot out the door.
Again, like, now you're re-quoting it.
What I do think is interesting in terms of a pitch per se, right? When you look at Duncan, he always had pop, right? When you look at Nowitzki, Rick Carlisle was a great coach. Is there somebody that ultimately would build confidence for Giannis in terms of that coach? Assuming, not that he said it, but the way that Doc has talked this last week and talked about wanting to spend time with his grandkids, it makes you think that Doc is going to not want to continue to be an NBA head coach. If that's the case, is there a coach combined with a young roster, combined with this pick, combined with the history, that would make Giannis feel comfortable and say, okay, maybe it's not the 26-27 season, but over these next 5 years, I feel really good like we could get to a place where we're competing for championships again.
Our Palermo's picks are coming up next. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. It's that time.
Yes, it's finally here.
Craig makes his picks of the week.
You can bet the house on it.
Picks of the week on Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin. Presented by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
Can't wait to see what happens next.
On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
It's not just me making its pick. It's everybody making their Palermo's pick. And we love Palermo's because dinner can feel complicated. And it's fine if your relationship with an NFL coach is complicated. It's not fine if your dinner's complicated. And that's why right now Palermo's will allow you to go to Pick and Save or Metro Market, making mindful eating easy with a buy one, get one deal on Palermo's Primo Thin Crust Pizzas. That's right, the Primo Thin Crust from April 8th through April 14th. That is, when's April 8th through April 14th? That's today, 14th?
Today's the 12th.
No, today's the 12th.
So 12th. Oh, so you got
Tuesday.
Two more days.
4 and 4 day on Tuesday.
Okay, so you got 2 more days. Don't wait. Buy one, get one free. Good through Tuesday, Pick and Save in Metro Market, Palermo's Primo, thin crust pizzas, crispy cracker, thin crust, balanced toppings, big flavor in every bite. At Pick and Save in Metro Market, Palermo's Primo Thin, mindful eating made easy and delicious. Buy one, get one free from our good friends at Palermo's. It's the Masters. Strophy, you want to kick us off with your pick?
Yeah, give me Justin Rose. I'm on the Justin Rose bandwagon. He's 3 strokes back right now. He's got to be, what, probably nearing 50, 40, 45, 50, somewhere in there. He's had so many cracks at it. I know he lost in the playoff to Sergio Garcia. That was, what, 2017 Garcia won? He's been close many times, has never won the Masters. Would like to see Justin Rose get it done. So I'll ride with him today.
All right. Let's go over to Kyle.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Cam Young because y'all just told me Cam Young had a monster day yesterday. So he keeps that going because it's hard to go back-to-back, and even though Rory's been basically leading the whole time, I think Cam Young finds a way to win today.
Justin Rose, by the way, plus 1329. So that'll pay almost over 13 to 1 for Strophe. Cam Young right there up at the tie for the lead, plus 233. Scals?
I'll take the best golfer in the world. I'll take Scottie Scheffler. Had a big day yesterday, 7 under. I think he does it again today. And I think he makes the run, puts some pressure on, and wins it.
10 to 1. 10 to 1 on Scottie Scheffler, plus 1,011 right now. I'll go with Rory McIlroy. The guy,
think he does it?
The guy saved golf in my mind. Like when Liv was coming, he cared about the game and the commitment there. Time for official apologies. I apologize. Gruber Law Offices has been around for over 40 years now. I said 35. Alex Strofe, let's have an official apology from you.
Official apology to Doc Rivers. Misquoted, conflated with the ESPN report. A source told ESPN that if your best player is 1 foot in, 1 foot out, you're not going to win. Not Doc Rivers, anonymous source.
And I apologize for believing Alex Strofe.
That's a good one,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would work on not doing that again, Kyle. That is something you should learn from
fair
your mistakes
advice.
There.
Fair advice.
Do that.
Stay healthy, stay together, survive today, thrive tomorrow, don't settle. You have been listening to Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin. Make sure to get out to American Family Field. Check out the Milwaukee Brewers as they get a win today against the Nationals and get back on the winning note. Bucks in action tonight. Final game of the year against the 76ers. Kyle, send us out.
Peace.
This is ESPN Wisconsin and ESPNWisconsin.com.